Nice run. As a matter of fact, with Randy and Anna, they were my running partners, and we'd go out for a long run, training our legs to get ready for the race. And it's rather enjoyable for the first three quarters or so. You run, because you run slower. The heart beats down, you can talk, you can have a good time. You're building endurance. But the third training session that I would do would be called hills, strength. And they're cruel. Because you find a mountain or whatever you want to, and you run up, and it's hard all the way. You're going really slow, but your legs are aching, and it's really painful. But it's good for you. And so, why am I sharing that with the church? Is because our Christian race or walk is just like running. You can use your illustrations. Here's mine. Is that God is the author and perfecter of my faith. Amen to that? God is the one that sets out the race before us. He knows the rest of my life, what's going to happen, everything. I look at it as God is my personal trainer. He's the one that sets the agenda. He's the one that puts me through my speed work during life. We have speed work. We have those things that we have to get ready for, and we run the race and deadlines and tasks, and he gives us the energy to do that. But then we need rest. We can't be running on deadlines for everything in our life or we burn out. We know that. And then he's the one that sets the long, sometimes seasons of my life and yours. We're in that slow pace. It's nice. Life's enjoyable. Not too many highs, not too many lows. And God is training us. And he's bearing fruit during those seasons in our lives. And then there's the one where God puts us through the hills. Anybody been in the hills? There's a lot of you in the hills right now, along with me. Because I've sensed that in my own life as I look and I say, wow, why am I, when is this ever going to change? Lord. And I get up and I read my Jesus calling in the morning and I get some more strength for that day. Just that day, though. I can't look beyond today because when you're running hills, you look right in front of you. If you're following Randy, you look at his feet and just keep going. Jesus, please help me keep going. That's what it's like in the physical. And I know in the physical, I know that that's good for me. I really do. Oh, it's a thrilling sensation when you've trained for all that time and then you're in the race and then you cross that finish line and it's complete and you realize all of that hard work, those hard hills that I was doing, they made me get this time that I'm so excited about now. And it's the same in our Christian experience. Right now, I'm in the hills. And I get up in the morning, I go, oh, Lord, please, here we go. And I'm trying to get strength from his word. And then I believe, yes, all things are possible to God. And that gives me energy as I think all things are possible to him. And we go out and I go out and live that day. But here's my point, is all the hills that I'm in now, I know that God is putting hills in front of me. It's him, not the devil. The Lord is bringing. Somebody prayed in the prayer room this morning. All things work together for good. Well, I'm in that season. I'm running hills and it's painful and it's hard. But I know that God is in control. And I know that his goal in my life is to bear fruit for him. And I know that there has to be hills and pains and sorrows. And I take great joy and peace in that. That he's in control, that what's happening to me right now, what I'm going through right now, is not just random act of violence from the enemy, but it's God preparing my life. Not only preparing my life, but right as we're in it and running those hills, he's with us. The gospel says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. No longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and delivered himself up for me. This verse we just read, that it's about our faith. He's the author and perfecter of my faith. He wants him to receive glory and honor through your life and mine. And to do that, he needs to put us through some hill training. Would there be one amen? And so I guess maybe this morning, if you're just starting out in your journey with God, take it from those that have run the race and are running the race. Learn from us that it is good, the things that God is working us through. I've even got to the point where now, I don't know why it took me so long to learn this, because I remember reading a book 35 years ago about it, but giving God thanks for opposition in my life. I'm there. I tell you, that's a far, far darn better, as my daughter would say. That's a far, bears more fruit when I look at it like that than the other. You ever argue with people in your mind and they're not even around? Has that ever happened to you? You ever argue with some of your family members? They're not even there, and you're having this argument and getting your point across. And can you imagine being a pastor of a church of 150 people? Yeah. That's a pretty big family. And debating and arguing over, most of the time, silly things. Here's my opinion. Here's my 3 points. Boop, 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 boop. Oh, man. Instead, the Bible tells us to pray for our enemies. Love your enemies. It says to maybe feed them. When your enemy's hungry, feed him. And when he's thirsty, give him a drink of water. Randy Demon, where are you? I was going to say, can I buy you lunch today, Randy? Tell him I said that. And praying for people, that's what God encourages. And I find in my life that my heart starts to shift. Spotlight gets on me, and then when we deal with those things in my life, is it care because I want my way all the time? Is that my problem? Sometimes it is, and sometimes it isn't. My point is this: God is in control of every one of our lives. Life is difficult. I read a book one time, it said, life is difficult, get used to it. That was the line. I never read the book, but life is tough, get used to it. Great for runners. Randy and I, we know all this. We love the pain in running. We really do. In your mind, if you say, this pain is good for me, we love it. We embrace it. Yet in my spiritual life, as I walk with God and pain and sorrow comes into my life, man, I'm out the door. I'm wanting to run the other way. Take it away, Lord. And yet, I read Job's life story. Oh, dear Lord. And yet, Job, we look at the whole story, take away what you want, but at the end of the story, all of that stuff was good for God's glory and his kingdom. Poor Job had to be the choice of God to go through all that. How would you like to have been Mary? Some goes, oh, what an honor to be chosen as the mother of the Son of God, which is beautiful and awesome. But the other side of that coin is, look at what she went through. Wow. Every character in the Bible, running hills, pain, sorrow, and God gives us all their pain and sorrow that they went through for our encouragement. And the one that went through it the most is the one we read about this morning. He's encouraging us to keep running. Hard to hold the faith, hard to keep loving your brother and sister. Look to God. Keep moving forward. And always, verse 2 and 3, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the Father. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful man, so, Al, that you don't grow weary and lose heart. Changing channels. We still got 5 minutes, Wanda? You don't know all the sheep in the crowd here. Some of them are saying 1 and 2. Anyways, here's my thought. Do anybody remember Ray Spillers? You grew up in Coleman? Just a teacher in Coleman in, I guess it'd be the 40s, 50s. Your dad would know him, Tim. Anyways, Ray Spillers taught me English in Dawson Creek in 1971. He was, I think, in his 70s then. He was old. To a young 13-year-old kid. Yeah, to a 13-year-old kid. And Mr. Spillers would come in. He taught us English. And he had this routine that, and I'm debating whether I should even go down this trail, but have mercy. Forgive me. We're going to go down there. Mr. Spillers would be like this. You'd be going to the English class, I think we had at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and you'd check with the other classes because he had about 4 grade 8 classes. And you knew what day was discipline day. You knew. Because you talked to the other class, and it didn't matter what was going on that day. Mr. Spillers corrected his grade 8 class, whether they needed it or not. And obviously, we needed it, but it was just routine. And so it didn't matter. We knew it was coming, and so we would start the class, and it only took one situation in the chair, in the desks. Bang, book, close your books, kids. And we were read the riot act. And we needed it. We really did. And so why am I telling you that? It's because a congregation needs to be read the riot act now and again. Amen. But you know that I'm not that type of guy. Or that's not my strong suit. Right? That's not my strong suit. I major on the loving. I get it from God and try to give it to you. But we do need correction. So I'm going to throw out a word here this morning. You receive it. Just pretend God's speaking in your heart. And you apply it to your life. Because I could be speaking to 5 people this morning. Or maybe we're all in the same boat. Are you with me, Herman? You look like you're going to get chastised here. Somebody smile. Anyways, I'm going to share this story. And I would call it a successful story on how to speak correction into people's lives. Because can you imagine? I'm a minister and God expects, that's part of my job, is to bring correction. Amen? Amen. Now it's easy actually, maybe it's easier up here, and I've always tried to sit down when I see something in a person's life, honestly from my heart, I really desire God's best for anybody. I don't judge your life, but I've been around long enough and I realize, man, I remember making that mistake in 1984. And I remember what it cost me. And so when I see somebody else making the same mistake, I just want to go to them, please, if I could make that decision, don't. But you know when you come, Ken, if I come to you, not you, because you're a rough, tough guy from way back, and you got thick skin, as they say, and yeah. And I know when I approach Ken, he's not going to be offended, but others might be. And so you wrestle those things in your mind. But anyways, get to the point, Al. In the last while, I noticed an individual sheep missing. You had an excuse, Jeff. You were up in Calgary. But right away, I think, hey. Matter of fact, I saw Ray Joseph this morning. I said, Ray, have you been here? And because I missed her. I looked at her this morning. I thought, gee, I haven't connected with Ray. And so we had a little chat, and she was off to Kelowna visiting family. But there was an individual that I hadn't seen in a while, and it was on my heart. So what do? Well, I got a novel thought. Why don't you go visit her? Go see how she's doing. It's pretty wise counseling. And not, don't get me wrong here, not to go chastise for I hadn't seen them in church for a while, but my heart misses them. Really misses them. And so I go and I pray. First thing you pray, Lord, I haven't got a clue what's gone on in that individual's life. So I go and I buy lunch and we sit and chat. And as Wanda would teach us, Al, if you're going to go do this, you should really be listening. Don't go with all the answers, Al. Go and listen. Ask a few questions and listen. Good teaching, Wanda. I learned that from you. And so I went and I listened. And I'm so glad I listened to Wanda because I asked a few questions. And then I heard a story that just blessed a pastor's heart. I heard this individual. They hadn't been here for a while. But as I listened to their story, I could see it in her eyes, her love for Jesus. You ever seen it in somebody's eyes, the love for Jesus? As they talk about the one we sang about, the Savior? Boy, that gets me pumped. That's, matter of fact, I preach that in this church now and again, don't I? Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Number one doctrine or Christian center. Have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and may it be one built on his love for you and your love reciprocated to him. Awesome. And I could see it in this individual's eyes. Beautiful. And then she continued on as I asked more questions and I listened. And then there was let's forget part number two, but part number three in this church is love those in our community. And I listened to the stories there and I said, wow, this lady hasn't even been to church for a while and she's doing what I'm preaching. Maybe she's listening to the tapes. That just came to me. Maybe she goes online and she hears the word of God, because boy, she's hearing the word and she's doing it. And I'm listening to her stories about connecting with people and helping people in her heart, and it's all over. And I'm thinking, wow, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. You remember the old song, Meatloaf? I want you, I need you, I ain't ever going to love you. Thought crossed my mind. Here she was, the 3 doctrines I preach in this church, and she's knocking it out of the park in 2 of them. But the one that she's lacking, which one might that be? Pardon me? Here we go. Number 2. We've got 1, we've got 3, but number 2 is lacking. Number 2 is loving the saints. To love the saints, we need to show up, right? I think Hebrews 10:25 says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Amen? This one, she was lacking. But I heard her story, and then what popped into my heart was I thought, here's God speaking to me. Where I could see, let me say the word tenderly, the life is getting a little out of balance. We need a little readjustment. I can see that in somebody else's life. Too bad I didn't always see it in mine. That's why I need people encouraging me in that regard. And so as I'm listening to her story and lacking in number 2, I'm thinking, a little out of balance, we just have to make some adjustments here. Look down the future, plan a little. I want to make some adjustments so my life comes more in balance so that it's 1, 2, 3. And I realize in all of our lives, sometimes we're really going to emphasize 3 or 1 or 2, and that happens. But when we get out of balance, eventually if that keeps on, it's not good for our relationship with Christ. We burn out. And as I'm listening to her story, I'm thinking, she's right where I'm at. My life is a little out of balance. I go to bring encouragement and listen and maybe a word of wisdom to her, and God's given it back to me. And I realize in my own life, I'm doing number one well, 2 well, no balance in 3. Matter of fact, I'm doing so well in number 2 that I'm burdened with the burdens of the church. Yes. I love it. I love it. And so there I am in number 2, fellowshipping with the saints and getting weary and burdened. Because sometimes I'm not made to take everybody's burden on. God is. But so in my own life, as I listened to their story, I realized my own life was getting a bit out of balance. Isn't that awesome how God teaches us through all things when our hearts are open? If we go in pride, I don't see nothing. That was going to be my message a lot this morning. But when I go in humility, wanting the best for that individual, and the best to me, it doesn't get any better than them connecting with Christ and receiving their spiritual life from Him and honoring and glorifying the Lord through that life. I have no idea how I'm going to end this message. Matter of fact, maybe I'm getting warmed up for after we get past Easter and going there, but I was just thrilled and delighted that this individual was putting into practice what we're preaching and trying to teach the church here. Love God, love the community, but then let's not forget number 2 is loving the saints, because this body is Christ's body, and when we love each other, we love Christ. Amen, Dwayne? We really do. When I'm driving to church sometimes, and I'm tired, and I might have a fever, a man cold, you know those things. It's huge to me, but I'm embarrassed sometimes when I think about it. But to me, it's real. I would love to, when I have the man cold, sit at the back with Ernie there in Sinner's Row and just rest. But I know that the God has called me to say something. But here's what I do in times like that, and I did it this morning. It's called self-talk, where I'm coming in and I'm low on strength First of all, I need God. I've been telling them all morning, Lord, I need, unless you put something in the tank, there ain't nothing there. But then also, do you find people can be very draining, Debbie, sometimes? Sometimes, especially when you're low yourself. Oh, man. And so I walked in this morning and went downstairs. First two people I saw, I said, two sisters. I said, why don't we have a contest, you guys, the two of them? Oh, contest, what? Let's see who can love more people today, and let's check after the service. Let's have a contest, see who can win. Everybody you see, just try to be the love of God into their life, and let's check with each other later on. And I'm looking forward to me. I can't even see where they are today. Maybe they left, but... And what that does for me, one, it puts God's, that's a huge challenge, but it makes me turn to him and say, Lord, I can't do this, but you can do it through me. I yield to him. Man, what a challenge, but it gets me focused on what's most important. I love that we worship God this morning. That's a huge part of why we come to the center, is to lift up and exalt God and tell him and express together how much we love him. But another part of it is loving you. Loving you, Ken. I can go there. And it's for all of us. It's for all of us. And as we do that, God works out the messes and the situations and the difference we have in opinions. Amen. I read somewhere there's an election coming up. Oh! Forgot to mention, can be an idol. Your political party can be an idol. Just a thought. Remember I said anything can be an idol. Bumps God off the throne. We're going to others to ask them their opinion and stuff. Rather than, Lord, what's first? What should be first? Always Jesus. I threw myself out there. I was closing. You've been patient. Let's pray. Oh, dear Lord. Dear Lord, dear Lord, correction from a brother is far more valuable than a kiss from an enemy. Father, thank you for this body, your body. Lord, we confess our inability to love and care for one another as we really should. It's all summed up, you said, in one commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. We confess, Lord, it's impossible, but we confess that all things are possible to you. And that may that be the goal and the passion of our life, is to share the love of Christ with our brothers and sisters, with our community. Lord, all things are possible to you. And that's what I pray for this little congregation on the hill, that more and more, Lord, we would be poured out for you. In Jesus' name, amen.